this is an opportunity for you because this is the first step to living your best and longest life, to have a life where you can overcome the hurdles, where you can enjoy the moments of joy, where you can still wrap your arms around the people that you love and give them a hug, carry your own groceries up the stairs, get yourself around to do all the things that you want to do, and really enjoy your time on this amazing whirling planet that's hurtling through space. Welcome to the Happiest Ever After podcast. That's right, happy-ish. Because instead of fairy tales of perfection, we celebrate real lives and real stories. I'm Tatiana, your host, and I'm here to guide you on your journey to better health and self-acceptance. Join me every week as we delve into science-backed truths about health, from understanding our bodies to caring for our emotional well-being. Let's get started. Welcome back, happy-ish fam. I am here doing another one of my mini solo episodes. And today I'm going to talk about three things. I'm going to tell you a little bit about why it is that I decided to call this podcast Happy-ish Ever After. I also want to talk a little bit about how the science of health has evolved over time and how it's continuing to evolve. And then, of course, I always want to leave you with a little something to take away. And this time, I'm going to give you a little bit of information about the most powerful tool that you have in your health arsenal. Because we all have it, we all have this ability, and I want to share it with you. So first off, why was it that I decided to call this podcast Happy-ish Ever After? Well, if you knew me on this side of the mic, then it would all make sense because it's kind of my quirky sense of humor. But there really was a lot of thought into it as well. I mean, I could have had something that was more talking inspirational or maybe about health more specifically. Honestly, I had one friend say to me, "Oh my gosh, don't you think that's a bit of a depressing title?" And I was like, "No, it's not. I think it's a great title. But maybe it doesn't resonate with everyone. Maybe not everyone kind of gets it." But here's the thing. When I think about Happy-ish Ever After, I feel like it's a bit liberating. We don't have to live the fairy tale life. And me, I'm a Gen Xer. And I was definitely raised on, you know, answering the Cosmo quizzes as a younger than teenager, even. I don't know why I had those magazines. You know, looking at the perfect pictures of the women in the 80s and looking at Britney's, you know, flat abs in the 90s. No shade. That's not the intention here. But it's just the reality of this whole idea that everything could be perfect. We didn't grow up with social media, so you couldn't even deconstruct the truth. You couldn't find your people per se. So there was this whole idea that you could have a perfect life that I don't think really exists in people's minds anymore. And for me, it was really an awakening to say, oh my gosh, I can actually have a better life if I don't try to chase down the things that aren't for me or that don't resonate with me. Now, that might sound like I just contradicted myself. Didn't I just say that I was chasing after these things? So why didn't they resonate? And it's that sort of, as you're getting older and you realize that just because something looks perfect on the outside doesn't mean that it feels good on the inside. And that's what happy-ish is to me. It's about actually taking that pen and not following someone else's script in a story that doesn't fit for you, but it's actually about taking the pen and writing your own story, doing your own exploration, finding something that's going to have ups and downs, but that's actually going to be the joy of it. The joy is going to be in the ups and downs, as opposed to always striving for perfection. Someone's always going to have a nicer car. Someone's always going to have a more perfect body, even though that doesn't exist because it changes every decade. There's always someone who you can compare yourself against and fall short. And I don't want to play that game anymore. And I think that there's a lot of women out there and men. There's a lot of us that really just don't want to play that game anymore. And we just want to hear something that's real. And so that's what I try and give here. I try and give you resources and tools and introduce you to different people, different ideas, different ways of being so that you can lead your own path. So how does that connect to science and health and everything else? Well, I am a lifelong nerd. Okay. So that's how it all kind of ties in, is that in my spare time, I like to go back and see what new research has been done, to have interesting conversations with people about work that they've done. It all actually ties in, because as a woman in this culture, my physical appearance and my actual health has always been tied into that storyline of perfection. And I know that I'm not alone here. And so in writing that new story and trying to live my true valued life, and it's a miracle. Like, this experience that we have on this planet and the fact that we come to be is a precious miracle, that sometimes we're so in the grind that we don't have time to pause and think, wow, this is amazing. The life that I live is amazing. The fact that I exist is amazing. The opportunities available to me are, because we're so caught up in the grind. But getting back to health, I want to be here for as long as I humanly can. And I want the years that I spend on this planet to, yeah, I want them to be full of joy, but I know that the joy is going to be sweeter, because sometimes things aren't going to be joyous. But I also want them to be functional years. I don't want to be just unable to think clearly, be active, go hiking, do the things that I love to do. It's not about the length of the years as much as it's about the quality of the years. And so when we get down to deconstructing what health is, some of the things that immediately become apparent is that you cannot tell if someone is healthy or not healthy by looking at them. So when you look at the fairy tale picture, you cannot tell that that is someone who is doing really well or not. We think we can. We're told that we can, if you look a certain way, then that is the epitome of health. There was a long time when suntans were equated with health, but now it's equated with skin cancer. So this is why I wanted to talk about how the science of health has really evolved over time, and it has evolved rapidly. So I want to give a couple of examples. In my undergrad, I actually did an English degree, and I remember talking about this one time. I was taking a Victorian novel. And for those who may not be aware, the Victorian period, it's the 1800s, the time of Queen Victoria. And sort of in the middle of that period, so let's say the 1850s or 60s, I think it was at the time. So we're talking about 150 years ago. We're reading this book, and one of the things that comes up is that there's a character and there's a doctor, and he is of this radical belief that there are these microscopic beings that actually can transmit illness. So of course, actually, he's describing germs. And we're reading this and we're like, wow, he's really brilliant. Isn't this great? Like, he's so much more advanced than all of the other characters. But what the writer was trying to do was to actually demonstrate that this doctor was actually a bit crazy, because this concept was considered radical and wild and not a standard belief. So 150 years ago, people who believed in germs were thought to be slightly wingnuts. And now we all understand that just because we can't see it doesn't mean we can't catch it. Wash your hands, you know, sneeze into your elbow, wear a mask, all of these different things. It's a way of stopping us from spreading unseen contagions. Now, skip forward 100 years. It was only a few decades ago that scientists started to realize that the signs of a heart attack in women is very different than signs of a heart attack in men. So women were dying disproportionately because there wasn't a recognition that that's what women were going through. And this is only a couple of decades ago. And even today, women may go to their medical practitioner, maybe a female general practitioner, their doctor, physician, and that doctor will be trying to give them the best information they can on perimenopause and menopause, something that all women who achieve old age will go through. The only women who don't are the ones that don't live that long. And yet, there's so little information and funding for perimenopausal and menopausal research that there's actually huge gaps in our knowledge. So this is the evolution. Science is evolving. We are growing to understand more and more about the human body, the connection between the human body and our subconscious, the role that our brain plays in maintaining our health, the role that our gut biome, everybody's talking about the gut biome right now. Why? Because we didn't know before, and now we do. And there's a lot of people talking about this. Does it mean that science is not valid? Absolutely not. Does it mean that science is evolving and that we are constantly learning new things? 100%. That's what's so exciting about being alive today and having access to things like social media or the internet or PubMed, and being able to see what's the latest information out there, learning from other people who have, you know, maybe they're not empirical studies at this point that demonstrate that these things work or don't work. But if they aren't things that pose a threat to you, why not give them a try? I'm not saying like jump off of a tall building and see if you can fly. I'm saying if there's no harm in trying something, let's say meditation, are there downsides to it? Give yourself a pros and cons. Then why not try some things? That's what I'm trying to do here. That's what I like to be able to do here. That's what I want for this podcast. I want to be able to give people tools. Am I always going to think that everything is right for everybody? No. But I want to introduce you to people who are doing things that are maybe a little bit different. Maybe lots of people already, you think, how many years has acupuncture been around? 2,000 years of practice? My mother had been trying to get me to do acupuncture for years. I had always, I'm being really honest here because I'm a little embarrassed. I was not a big supporter. I just thought, how is this going to work? In a bit of desperation, I actually started seeing an acupuncturist last year after I had some shoulder surgery. And it has been life-changing in pain management. I had closed my mind previously to even contemplating that I would try it. But I can't tell you how life-changing it has been. I told you at the beginning of this episode that I was going to share with you the most powerful tool that you have in your health arsenal. And here's what it is. It's your mind. Human beings are unique in our ability to solve problems. We can be introspective. We can change our patterns and behaviors, all of these things. And this means that you can change the life that you're living if you want to. And that's what I want to do here. If something resonates with you that you hear, I hope that you'll follow up with somebody that I've interviewed. Maybe start, you know, sussing them out on social media. Maybe if they have a podcast, listening to a bit of what they have to say there. Maybe getting a book. You don't have to buy it. You can get it from the library, or maybe get an audiobook. Try something different. See how that can enrich your life. There's so much of our lives that are happening at a subconscious level, and that's part of our brain too. And I'm really excited that you're on this journey with me, because I'm going to be bringing more and more ideas that might be pushing those boundaries for you a little bit. You might think that they sound a little out there, or maybe you've actually been hearing it from people in your circle, and now you're actually out for a walk listening to the podcast and being introduced to someone on that specific topic. This is an opportunity for you, because this is the first step to living your best and longest life, to have a life where you can overcome the hurdles, where you can enjoy the moments of joy, where you can still wrap your arms around the people that you love and give them a hug. Carry your own groceries up the stairs. Get yourself around to do all the things that you want to do and really enjoy your time on this amazing whirling planet that's like hurtling through space. I'm just in awe of everything that we have at our disposal. And it's an amazing time to be on this planet. And I hope that you enjoy these episodes as much as I enjoy sharing them with you. Thanks for joining me on another episode of Happy-ish. If you enjoyed this episode, hit the follow button and I can promise you more content like this. But don't keep it to yourself, share it with a friend. So until next time, keep your curiosity alive, spread kindness wherever you go, and never forget that you are the author of your story.
This has been an Awkward Sage production.